Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
I just love to be part of a church that are focused on praying for the needs of the world and other people beyond this kind of boundary. It's so important that we as individuals, but as a church, reach beyond. All the time, we can reach nations with our prayers. We can travel to China with our prayers. We can go anywhere. And it's amazing. We can bring the kingdom of heaven anywhere that we pray for. And so it's wonderful to be. And I just know there's just such a spirit of faith that God has cultivated here, but also of compassion. That we are moved with compassion at the needs that come into our understanding, really, into your life, your situation, but also into the corporate body. And it's fantastic to agree together for a wider vision, really, of Jesus healing the world. That's what he wants to do. He wants to heal the whole world. He wants to save the whole world. So it's quite a big vision he has. And so he wants his people to have a big vision of reaching the world with his power and his good news. Praise God. Let's just pray for this morning's ministry, because I believe that this word has power to change your life, because it's God's word. And so let's pray. Father, we come to you and invite you to do something on the inside of us through your word, that you'll put something inside of us, spirit of faith, encouragement, vision, victory, truth that sets us free. Father, we thank you and invite you, Holy Spirit, to be at work in each one of our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you'll bring to pass the will of God in all of our lives, and that you'll be at work in us in this time of listening to your word, to work out your will, to give us the desire to do your will. And Lord, I just love that prayer to give us an undivided heart. And Father, I know that you want to do this, to accomplish this, and that we give you our hearts before we receive your word, so that you can sow your word into it and produce the harvest you want from your word. So let the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, and the power of Jesus be at work here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 8. Pastor Angie didn't know this, but the Spirit did, and she was mentioning about truth that sets free. So this was my opening verse for the message. It's John 8, verse 31. To the Jews who'd believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teaching to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So Jesus is speaking to believers. And what's interesting here is that he says, if to believers, and there is a condition for freedom. And freedom comes to those who hold to his word, to his teaching, and apply his word in their lives. Those kinds of people will know truth personally. That means experience the power of the word. Don't you want to experience the power of the word? The kind of people that experience the power of the word are believers who know the truth and continue to walk in the word of Jesus, the word of God. Then we will know the truth personally. We will experience it. It will change our lives. And the truth will set us free. Now, I don't know what you see in your mind's eye as a free person. Maybe you just think somebody coming out of jail, that's an element of freedom. Maybe you see somebody who's really happy in worship, you could say that they're really free in worship. But I would say our example of freedom is always, and the greatest example of all, is Jesus. He was totally free. You want to see a free person? You look into the Gospels and see a free person. And that is how God intends every one of us to live, as free as Jesus did. As free from the enemy as Jesus did. When Jesus said, Satan has no hold over my life, no room in me at all, that's what God wants for you. But it doesn't happen without the Word of God applied in your life. And true freedom has to be based on the freedom that comes from us believing the truth and continuing to apply what God says. And then the power of that word, which, let's face it, the word created all things, including you. So God can sort any issue in your life with his word. If we hold fast to it and continue to do it, then the truth is going to set us free. Praise God. And I believe that truth is powerful. Not just a meeting where the Holy Spirit is moving. We have powerful meetings. But I believe that God's word, which is truth, is powerful. It has power to transform somebody's body. It has power to get somebody who couldn't walk, walking. Because he sent forth his word and healed them. I believe the word is powerful to heal the most broken life. I believe that truth is more powerful than brokenness. And truth, because it's got the divine heart of love and compassion behind it, heals and sets free. I believe with all of my heart, hearing the truth takes somebody out of darkness, and believing it takes somebody out of the power of Satan and puts them into the power of God. Because the truth is, for us who are believers, we have been taken out of the dominion of darkness by simply believing the gospel of Jesus. You have been delivered out of darkness, and you've been put into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I believe that truth is the most powerful thing or person in the world. Jesus actually said, I am the truth. And he said, my words are truth. They're also spirit and life, which means his word carries his life and his spirit to perform what is spoken. Because no word from God returns empty. It doesn't come back without working. It accomplishes everything it has been sent to do. And so when Jesus said, you will know the truth, he's speaking about a people who continually walk in what God says about them, in what God says to do. And they will know the experience of God's power in this world. And that power will continually liberate them from the powers of darkness, from the powers of the flesh, from the power of sin. You know, sin is not to have dominion over any one of us. Because we're in Christ. We have power over every sin. Praise God. So truth is powerful. Recently we've been declaring some scriptures and some Bible truths, and I just like the first declaration to come up. Through Jesus, I am 100% loved and accepted by God. I mean, what a truth. If you want a Valentine's card, there it is, guys. Here's your Valentine's card. Isn't that wonderful? Through Jesus, you, every person in this room, through Jesus, you are 100% loved now. And totally accepted. That should set you free from striving for approval with God, from trying to be loved. There's nothing worse than being with somebody that you love and them doubting that you do. God wants us to believe that He 100% loves us and that He 100% accepts us in His sight through Jesus. If we don't believe this, we will be insecure and have feelings of inferiority. I know many Christians who walk around feeling inferior, not quite good enough. I know loads more who don't really believe that God loves them 100%. The Bible says it's ridiculous to doubt that God loves us 100%. Not in those words. But it says, if God didn't spare His Son, how much more will He freely give us all things? He's given us His Son and given us everything we need for life. It's a great deal being saved. You have the best life now. I'm going to tell that again. You've got the best life now. There is nothing better than this life. But it's knowing and walking in this truth that actually sets you free. And I know I've got a message from God today. So listen up. Listen up to this. This is a good news message. God doesn't want any one of you ever having fear of inferiority or a fear of not being loved ever again. You will know the truth. That's the truth. And the truth will set you free from inferiority and insecurity. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you that there are other kinds of truth that go on around God's truth. And I'm going to put it like this because this is the way God gave it to me yesterday. First of all, number one, there is reasonable truth. Basically, the truth of the mind that says, I think, because you and I have all got the power to think. We can reason up situations or assess things. And with our mind, we can say, well, that is true. So for me, I could say it's reasonable to think that I am not 100% accepted by God because I failed. And so I can begin to think differently to truth. I can think it through and say, actually, I'm not the most lovable person in the room. There was very little compassion coming back then. I feel insecure. Slightly touched by inferiority. You know, this is a plague that if you don't get sorted, you'll never come into freedom. I can think things through and assess my life and say, actually, I failed. I don't deserve to be loved 100% by Jesus. But that's not the truth. The truth is through Jesus, because He is the 100%er in my life. I am 100% loved and accepted because it's no longer me, but Christ in me. Thank you, Jesus. The other kind of truth you and I can live with is emotional truth. Emotional truth says, I feel differently to what God says. Has anybody ever felt differently to what God has said about them? You might be feeling that today. You might not feel very good emotionally today. You might be going through a very difficult time emotionally. And there is a kind of truth that's real that I could say, I feel certain things. I can feel unloved. I can feel rejection. Rejection is a very difficult thing to feel. When somebody rejects you, either through their actions or their words or their decisions, it can have a very difficult, you can have a difficult time with rejection. So I could say I don't feel accepted by people or by God. Emotional truth says I feel less than other people. I feel not quite good enough. I feel inadequate is another word that emotional feelings can make you react to. Now, if we base our lives on reasonable truth, I think, or emotional truth, I feel, we will live quite a miserable yo-yo life, up and down, up and down. But God wants us to know this 100% reality of freedom all the time because of who Jesus says we are. The third way I can see my life or my situation is experiential truth. I've got a history that I can say, actually, I've lived. I'm a certain amount of years, and I'm not saying. And my history, I could say, well, I've experienced that. I've actually experienced weakness. I have experienced sickness. I have experienced having nothing in the bank. So that can be my experience by which I define, or I say, I know that this is the truth about me. So today you might be thinking, feeling, and you might have a certain knowledge about your past. But if you live by those truths, it will not set you free. Unless your experience ties up or agrees with what God has said. So for example, if my experience is, I've never seen anyone raised from the dead. Actually, I have. But just say, it would be my experience not to have. Then what I would do is approach my future by saying, well, I've never done that, so I don't think I'll bother praying for the dead. But if the word tells me that I am anointed to raise the dead like every believer is, because you haven't experienced it, it doesn't mean it isn't true. Now, that's an extreme example, but I wouldn't mind going around as Kingdom Faith Southwest and knowing that all of us are raising the dead, we'd create a bit of a stir. But if there's no expectation for it because your experience is based on what you haven't done, it defines your future. Yeah? And so we need to understand that God's word is the only word that sets us free. And those who live and continue in God's word have a very powerful life. Thank you, Jesus. You can see as many miracles as Jesus, and even greater still. Well, I'm not so sure I want to. It's Sunday morning, and we had quite a long day yesterday. We want to, don't we? Even though you might be a little on the outside feeling tired, your spirit is alive and hungry to hear God's voice. And God wants you to know that all things are possible for you. He wants you to know that nothing's too hard for the Lord. and he lives in you. And greater things still are ahead of your life. I speak that over you. Greater things than you've seen are ahead of you. Thank you, Jesus. Greater things are ahead. You see, when Jesus said, you will know the truth, he wasn't talking about emotional feelings. He wasn't talking about the experiences you've had in the past where things just didn't work. He wasn't talking about you reasoning your future out. He was talking about his word. You will know the truth that comes from the written word revealed by the Spirit. And that truth will set you free. Isn't it interesting? Jesus didn't say counseling will set you free. Now, we can help you with the truth, but it is only the truth and you believing it and walking it that liberates you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the power to live in freedom comes from believing and walking in truth. Believing and walking in truth makes the weak strong. Makes the poor rich. Makes the sick well. Makes the fearful fearless. Makes failures into winners. Thank you, Jesus. See, people have a hard time believing this because it's such good news. You might be having a hard time believing this because it's such good news. Why is it good news? Well, the Bible says the only thing that counts now is the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, anybody in Christ here? I am. He is a new creature or creation. Old things have passed away. Hang on a minute. Not will pass away. Old things have passed away. Old things have gone. Now, in Christ, all things are new. That is so good, you're going to have a hard time with it. Because it challenges everything about who you think you are. Your personality, even though you've been saved 20, 30 years, you may still put your personality over the new creation. You might think, well, that's only me. And I've always been like this. But if God's word says the only thing that counts is the new creation, it doesn't count what you were. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. He set me free. Not just from sin and death, but from the failure that I was. I was born a failure because I was born into sin. I'm the new birth. I'm born a winner. I'm born to win. It's easier sometimes to believe our personality traits. Oh, that's just me. Or if you're with somebody and been with them for years, you could say, well, that's just them. And basically what you're doing is accommodating something that God says has passed away. Because your experiences say, I know that person like that. But the truth says, this is the truth about me. I am a completely new person in Christ. Now, many of us have heard this message, but it needs to change us by us continuing in it, believing in it, and living in the power of it. I mean, I find myself sometimes saying things about me that isn't true, that doesn't line up with God's truth. What can come out of my mouth sometimes, and I'm getting better at it, when I say I'm not good at that, and as soon as it's left my mouth, the Spirit says, why do you say that? I'm good at that. Because all things are possible, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means there's no limit over my life. And there's no limit over your life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at these two different contrasts of the old you which is gone and the new you in Christ. Now, you need to remember that this old you, in God's eyes, has definitely gone. You might see it creeping over and being married over here. But God says it's completely gone. I don't know who you want to believe today, but I fancy believing the truth. Because this mixture, believing that, is actually not going to do me any good. Okay? What you feel about yourself, your experiences, doesn't do you any good. Believing the truth will set you free. So the old you, you were a sinner. So in other words, all you could do was sin before you received Jesus. You had no power to please God. Because you believe Jesus, now you are righteous as a gift from God. He, Jesus, lives in you and he has become your righteousness. And if he's become your righteousness, you're 100% righteous in Christ. Thank you, Lord. The old you was separated from God. You couldn't be with God. Until you receive Jesus, nobody is ever going to be united with God. Jesus is the only way to be one with the Father. But you receive Jesus, so that means that old person is gone. The new is that you are now united in Christ. The old person was defeated. The new you is more than a conqueror. The old you had no rights or inheritance. The new you, you're a joint heir with Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you believe that? Can you get the hold of that one? Okay, so imagine me having joint inheritance with the Queen. I'd be fairly well off. So what she owned, I owned. So she's got a lot of duchy farms, so I hear. She's got quite a bit of land. She owns the swans. I don't know why, but she does. All the swans belong to the Queen. Isn't that interesting? So, I mean, I'm a joint heir with swans. I've inherited what she has. A joint heir means we're sharing the same inheritance. You're a joint heir with Christ, the Son of God, who owns everything. Before you got saved, you had absolutely no rights. You didn't have the presence of God. You didn't have the promises of God. Now, in Christ, you have all the promises, you have a rich inheritance, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, you are made rich in every way. Is that my last one? Oh no, there's one more. The old you was subject to the enemy. You could never win over demons or Satan's power. Satan mastered you because you belong to him. But now, in Christ, you belong to God. And because you were raised with Christ, who is now seated in heavenly places, you are now seated above all powers, dominions, demons, circumstance. You are a king, a ruler, a son of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, cheer up, guys. This is good. If you believe all the other experiences and the feelings and the stuff that goes wrong, then you don't have the power to live a different life. The power comes from believing and walking in truth. Now, there's a guy. Thanks, James. That can be turned off. Turn to Judges. We're going to look at a guy in Scripture who had a hard time believing who God said he was. Do you know, I have to admit, and I know unbelief is a sin, so I wouldn't say openly it's unbelief, but sometimes I do have a hard time believing that God says I can do all of this stuff. And I know you do, otherwise you'd be out there healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, too busy seeing whole cities come to Christ. Because when we believe this stuff, the power of God works through our lives. Okay, so I know sometimes I'm like, Lord, this is so good. I'm finding it a bit of a challenge. I don't want to disbelieve. I accept your word. But it needs to transform my thinking. And it needs to transform my feelings. And it needs to transform my experience. Thank you, Jesus. This is an encouraging word. So there's this guy in Judges chapter 6 called Gideon. And Gideon is not your kind of obvious leader, pioneer, taking the nation into victory from defeat. He's not the obvious choice to actually lead an army and see victory come to a nation. And by the way, you're not. The Bible actually says not many were wise, not many strong. When God chose you, he didn't choose you for your talents. That's me. In my family, I felt the least talented. My elder brother was much nicer than me, always. I was always the naughty one. Secondly, my younger brother had a brain. Still has. I mean, he's teaching areas where he works for NASA. I mean, the guy's out there in his head. He's got it in the mind. My younger sister at nine, was taken in as the most brilliant musician and put into music school. And so there's me. Pretty, well, ungifted. Not much going on. Until I got saved, life was fairly ordinary. Salvation made me, it brought me out of mediocrity. If I'm in Christ, I'm definitely not normal. And so in my family now, I know what I'm doing has far more consequence, for far more value. Some of them are serving the Lord. I don't mean that by any, they're doing some great things. But, you know, who you are in Christ needs to be your foundation. Because from that, you can do all things. So Gideon, I've got the wrong book here. Here we go. The Israelites weren't doing well, and I won't go into why, because that's not the message for today. And God needed to find somebody to bring victory into the nation. And that's the truth for you and me. It's the truth for this generation. God needs to find a person or a people who are going to be used to change the nation. And that's us, guys. It's hilarious. It is. Look at us. Look around the room. These are the nation changers. Here we have God's solution. And so here we have the Lord coming to speak to Gideon. In verse 11 it says, the angel of the Lord came down, sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But, sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our father told us about when they said, 'Did not God bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But, Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. The Lord said, 'I'll be with you. You will strike down all the Midianites together.'" Then Gideon has a little kind of encounter with the Lord. Now, Gideon is currently not in the more than conqueror bracket. His experience, feelings, and reasoning is, if God's with us, why has this happened? Where are the miracles? If, why, where? You've said it. If, why, where? But God comes, and it's interesting. He doesn't come to minister to Gideon's soul by saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you." He says, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." What a counseling session. The only one that works. It's the only kind that works, guys. God's ways work. This is the counseling session. The Lord is with you. One of the translations is, "You fearless man of courage." Now, somebody's lying. And we know that's not God. Gideon's feelings, circumstances, are going to challenge the word. Because everything in him is not there. But God actually says, "You are this, a fearless man of courage." And he's a champion, God's saying. And I, you know, often don't feel like a champion, do you? I really often do not feel like getting up to preach a fiery message, because I've had such a week of victory. But God says, "The Lord is with you, get up. Act on truth, not on feelings." You might be facing something at work at the moment, and God's saying, "You're fearless. You've got courage. I am with you. You can do it." You might not feel it. You might not think it. But God wants to change everything in your thinking, your feeling, and your experience by you believing the truth, because the truth will set you free to be who God's called you to be. More than a conqueror. Not a survivor. I rebuke survival mentality over this church. I rebuke survival with finances, health, any area of your life, ministry, fruitfulness. In the name of Jesus, you are not born to survive. You're born to win. Amen. Amen. God says to him, he doesn't listen to his ramblings, if, why, where. He ignores all the frustration that's coming out of Gideon's mouth. And he says, "Go in this might of yours. This is a guy farming in the wrong place. In a wine press, he's sorting wheat. You don't sort wheat in those days. You used to do it in the open because the chaff would blow away with the wind. He's hiding. He's that far back from what God called him to be. He's right down underground. We're not underground, we're raised. But sometimes you can begin to act like that underground mentality. And God wants us to come out of that into the power of who he has called us to be. So God says, go in this might of yours and save the nation. Why is it Gideon's might? Because it's a strange thing, isn't it, where God actually says to Gideon, go in this might of yours. And I see this as God saying, if you believe I'm with you, you need to take it on as your power. So in other words, I have power to heal the sick. Now I know that's only because the Lord is with me. But I have power to heal. Every person in this room is a new creation from what I can see. What I believe. And if there's question over it, you could get saved today and become a new creature. Therefore, you have power to heal every sickness you ever come across. So God says to Gideon, go in this might of yours. So he says, I don't want you to think the power's over there. It's in you. Jesus says, Christ in you. So you already have the power now. Go out and get the job done. So Gideon then starts to say, do you know, he's so much like all of us in this room. It's unbelievable. It's almost like we could see the old me coming back up and the new me God's trying to pull out in this picture with Gideon. Gideon then says, well, you know, my family's the weakest. We're the poorest. We're the least. We're the ones who never win. In fact, in any queue, we're at the back. Would anybody pick me at school? I was the last. We are absolutely known to be losers. Why does God, I believe, pick this kind of guy? Because he wants to say it's not about your natural potential. It's about your new potential in Christ. The new you has more than enough to get everything done that God calls you to do. So Gideon was born into a line of losers. You're born into a line of winners. Thank you, Jesus. So your family history died and was cut off when you believed in Jesus. Because the word says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, you died when you received Jesus. That's good news. The Bible says you died. So the old you no longer lives in God's truth. And who is true? God or your experience? That's the question when Pastor Andrea was saying this morning, who do you say that I am? It's actually saying, God saying to us, who do you say I am in what I have done? Do you say I'm the truth? Or will you say your feelings or experience is the truth? And every one of us have free will to decide who we believe. I would love every one of us in this room to believe the truth today, God's truth. But it is a personal response to who God says you are that changes your life. Thank you, Lord. No one ever said such great things over Gideon. And I don't believe you will travel the world over. Nobody ever will say such great things over your life than God. Isn't that amazing? God says the best things. He says the true things. But he says things that give you value, that make you significant in his plan, that says, yeah, you really are a part of what I'm doing. You're not outside because of your natural abilities. I've made you who you are, and you are a man or woman of fearless courage. You see, we are a church, a people of fearless courage. To say it, I'm a person of fearless courage. I think you've got to say that at least 5 times. I am a person of fearless courage. So when God spoke to Gideon and said, I am with you, you man of fearless courage, he is saying it to us today. Because if Gideon is going to change the nation, bring God's will back into the nation, see a community change, see your friends saved, see your family come to Christ, you have to be fearless. If you're going to pray for the sick at work, say to your neighbor, there is good news with God, and begin to speak out the gospel of Jesus in the here and now, you're going to have to believe you're not an intimidated person. You are a person of fearless courage. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. He's given you a spirit of power. Your spirit is powerful because that's where God lives. A spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. And you might be facing personal challenges where you need to say, God is with me. I am a person of fearless courage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will not be intimidated by sickness, by people, by the enemy, by anybody's face when I tell them the good news about Jesus. I will step out and see the power of God in my life and through my life. Now, I don't know if you've read the next bit, and I'm just going to finish with this. In verse 25. Is this good news this morning? While you turn to verse 25, just glance to the mighty warrior on your left or right and say, the Lord is with you, you fearless person of courage. You know, we are going to take new ground. We're going to take many souls, bring them out of darkness. Many people are going to be saved because we are a people of fearless courage. We're also going to take hold of a building because we're a people of fearless courage. We're not intimidated by the economy. See, I preach this for me. Because Pastor Andrea and I primarily are leading. And I need to be this kind of leader. I mean, whoever leads anything, whether it's in the family, your kids, at work, in any sphere, you need to be bold. You need to be a person of fearless courage. But this is important. This message is important if you're going to take ground. And we are going to take ground personally and corporately. You're going to take ground personally. Through this word, you're going to see fruit. In your career, at home, wherever you work, whatever you're doing, you're going to see the kingdom advance. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 25, that same night, Gideon had an encounter with God through the sacrifice. But the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd and one of 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal. Cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. Right, let's just look at this. This is real. This has happened. This guy did this. So, his father had these altars and poles set up to false gods. And Gideon, from this kind of underground ministry, threshing wheat in a wine press, comes into the ministry of annihilating false gods. In the family. Now, you and I don't mind saving the nation, but not the family. Please don't make me face the family. Anything but the family. And I mean, for me, I think the biggest challenge for Gideon was the family. Because the family, were powerful, probably a bit like the mafia. They certainly were ungodly because they had false gods in the house. And, there's a right honor of parents, but honor goes crazy when we honor the wrong thing. Hello? We can't honor sin. We can't honor compromise. We honor your mother and father because God says to do that, but not what they do if what they do is against the will of God. Now, we need to see this in perspective because Gideon had been part of the family and part of compromise. I believe he'd even been worshiping false gods until he had this, the Lord is with you, and I want you to go and tear those things down in the family. So this fearless, courageous guy says, he's had an encounter with God. It's the best time to go and do something you're afraid of after a fresh encounter, because being with God builds your courage. Don't go when you've kind of been lazing around, been to the cinema, had a pizza. Right, here we go. Get prayed up, be with God's people in the presence of God, and then when you know this is what God wants for you, you're stepping out, you're going to challenge the wrong thing. Now, I just want to bring the perspective of the New Testament in here. In Matthew 10, Jesus said some very difficult to handle words. And if you want to look up the references, Matthew 10, 32, Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. Now, we know Jesus came to bring peace because he's the Prince of Peace. What is he talking about? He's not talking about peace with God. He's saying, I haven't come to bring peace with the wrong things. I've come to bring a division where a mother will be against their children, where a father and son will be split because my word is separating. Oh, isn't this interesting? And so when God says to Gideon, I want your family to be given a chance to repent from false gods. And they can't do it if you preach the same message they do. You've got to come into preaching my message. You've got to come into my way so that then you can see the power of God change your family. Yeah. Jesus at one time was teaching and his mother and brothers came to the door. Big crowd in the house. And his disciples were there. And the mother and brothers says, we want Jesus to come out to us. And it's interesting because the natural people who are not walking with God, and I've had to do this myself with my family and my friends, they want to pull you into where they're at. They wanted to pull Jesus out of doing the will of God through a wrong kind of response to love. You know, you can love, but not in the right way. We're to love our families, to take care of our families. There's a right context, but it is never to take over the will of God for our lives. God is first, always. And when Jesus is Lord, family works. And so Jesus, he doesn't go out to his family. He says, pointing to his disciples, not to the crowd, interestingly, he says, now then, these are my family. These are the ones who do my Father's will. He is separating and saying the spiritual is more important than the natural. Woo! Confrontation of truth is good for us because it sets us free to do the will of God. Now, I'm going to finish with a couple of testimonies because recently, since I decided to live sold out for God and honoring truth, and that truth must always be with grace. Otherwise, you become a Pharisee and you kill people with all your letters and your writing and you're slamming people. And that's not what Jesus was saying. Although he was very strong on the Pharisees, there's a right time to speak out. But it's always truth in love with grace. There's always an opportunity for people to change. And Gideon's family changed. And actually, an army arose that God had to dwindle down, but an army arose that took the nation out of coming into this fearless courage to face your fears. It's really important we understand God's ways because God says to us, I have made you a new creature. You are who I say you are. You can do everything I've said you can do. But I want you to use that courage in action and face, first of all, those things around you that intimidate you. Win over them. Come on, guys. Whatever you're facing currently, win it with truth. Truth and grace. And we will see a revival in the nation with fearlessly courageous men and women of God. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Praise God.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.